Welcome to Alumni Evolution, the official podcast of the Kentucky Wesleyan College Alumni Association. Join us each week as we interview incredible alumni and friends and follow the evolution of their lives.
Hey, everybody. We are back again for another edition of Alumni Evolution, the official podcast of KWC Alumni. I am Doug Hoyt, and I have the privilege of being your host. Today, I have a very special guest with me, Darlene. Welcome.
Hello.
If you would take just a moment maybe and let everybody know a little bit about you, that would kick us off just perfect.
Okay. Well, as you said, I am a Kentucky Wesleyan alumni, and currently I work at Kentucky Wesleyan as an organic chemistry professor. So I am Dr. Darlene Ingram.
Welcome. Welcome. So let's talk about your time here at Wesleyan. Okay. That always gets us kicked off, right? Because that's the connectivity for everybody.
Okay. So my time here at Wesleyan, I was here from 1987 to 1991. So I graduated in 4 years here, and I got...
And you know, that is unusual these days. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did it too, but I run into a lot of people that it took a little longer than the normal four.
Yeah. Well, I did go the one extra summer, but in my defense, I did get a dual degree. I got a chemistry and a biology degree. I completed the requirements for both degrees, so that's why I had to take the extra summer. I had one summer.
Well, that's okay.
I think we'll take it.
We'll let that slide.
Technically, I'm a summer grad. Yeah.
So 1987 and 1991, while you were here, you were awfully busy studying, but what kept you busy while you were here?
I was definitely busy studying. I had... a minimal, probably, social life, actually. Back in the day, so to speak, there were little sisters to fraternities. And I was a little sister to the Sigma Alpha Mu fraternity.
Okay. Yeah.
So I did that. And I knew a bunch of those folks. But for the most part, I was busy studying chemistry, biology, and math.
Oh, my.
I wasn't that entertaining or interesting, I don't think.
You saved that for the later years.
Yeah, that was way later, yeah. Well, in my 30s, I was a little bit more exciting.
So your time here, you are from where?
I am originally from Eastern Kentucky. I'm from Stanton, Kentucky, which is in Powell County. It's more like East Central Kentucky, not South. Southeast, but Red River Gorge area. That's
okay,
where I'm from.
It's a beautiful area.
Isn't it? It's great. So when I came here, Owensboro looked really flat with lots of cedar trees to me.
And big.
And just big, yeah, because where I'm from, not big. We had, what, a one-stoplight town? That's it. Yeah. There is no such thing as traffic. And you know what I remember? This is really funny. I remember going to the grocery store here that Kroger on Frederick has been there forever, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And so that was my first experience of standing in line at a grocery store because I'm from a small town. There was no line at the grocery store. Isn't that funny?
My gosh. Yeah. And where else would you go? Well, now right down here across the street from Wesleyan was Wendell's Grocery.
Yeah.
And so I spent a lot of time there. I couldn't afford Kroger.
Yeah. Well, I mean, exactly.
And I could walk.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Oh, my gosh.
That's hilarious.
Thank you for taking me back to that memory.
That was crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah. So Stanton, Kentucky.
Yes.
What brought you here?
Well, I filled out... different thing. There was this little package that came one day, and it was like all the private and religious institutions. You could fill out interest cards back in the day when you had to do it, you know, through the mail, not just clicks like we do now.
Yeah, people don't understand.
There was no internet. And that seems crazy now, I guess. But there was a bunch of little cards. and I filled out an interest card, mailed it back, and I got, you know, a lot of responses from all different kinds of schools, but one of them was Wesleyan, and they invited me to come and tour the campus. And it's interesting, I was actually going to go to Morehead State University instead. And then I came here and toured the campus. And my dad said he knew when he saw this campus, he knew that I was going here, because of how beautiful the campus was. And it was just so different from anywhere else. And at the time, that's a pretty far away from home for me. It was. So back then, the speed limit was 55 everywhere, and it was five hours to get home. So it was a big adventure.
Yeah, you know, Darlene, that sounds not dissimilar to my experience. I'm from northeastern Ohio, and I tell people I got a postcard in the mail, just
is
like
that
what
right?
you're talking about, that said, hey, if you have any interest, fill this out and mail it back, and you know, we'll mail you the catalog and some information. And sure enough, they did and asked me to come visit. And lo and behold, they had some scholarship money that I qualified for, which was different than any place else in Ohio that I had applied. And we, Mom and my brother and sister and I came pulling in the station wagon, and sure enough, it was the same thing. Oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
You know, you see the campus and it's like, oh, there it is. And it just pops up and it's beautiful.
It is. And it's still really beautiful. I like taking a break sometimes and just walking around campus now if I need to clear my head or whatever. And I think right now, like, the redbuds are out, the dogwoods, the pear trees bloomed. I mean, it's just a great campus.
All the allergens.
Oh, well, that's
the Ohio Valley.
I know. I live.
So funny. 'Tis the season.
It is definitely the season.
Yeah. Well, very cool. So, and that's we're not far off in the era here. I was 80 to 84.
Okay.
So I'd been gone just a few years, and when you arrived.
Yeah.
So not much changed, I think, in those few years.
No, it's different now, though.
It's very different now.
Yeah.
The advent of the internet changed the world.
Yes.
So your time at Kentucky Wesleyan, you studied ferociously, but you graduated and decided you needed to do what?
Well, I graduated, and I don't know if you remember what 1991 was like. We had a war going on in 1991, and people tend to forget that. And economically, it was not a good time to be working as a chemist. Now, that same degree that I had then, I could have worked as a chemist and made a lot of money. But instead, what I decided was I was going to go to graduate school. So I went to graduate school at the University of Louisville, and I got a PhD in organic chemistry.
Okay. And when was that? When did you get your PhD?
Well, I had a what you call non-traditional path. That's why I like to tell my students this part, because they think that, you know, I'm an evil genius and then I've always been wildly successful, and I haven't been. I started graduate school in 91, but I technically didn't get my PhD until 2004. So it took almost 13 years if you added it all up. A lot of that time, you know, I spent academically in classes and things like that. But with graduate school, especially with the sciences, the big thing is doing research in a lab. And you can't do that just anywhere. That has to be on site in a lab. You have to be successful. You have to make the compounds you intend to make. And it's a lot of work. And it doesn't always go the way you think it's going to go. And it surely did not.
Well, Darlene, I like to say it's more important to be right than quick.
Yeah.
So you just took your time.
Took my time.
Yeah, you wanted to be right.
Yeah, it was graduate school's hard. A lot of people just don't understand how hard it is. It's academics is a lot different now than it was back then. For one, you know, I was one of a handful of women that was in chemistry. You know, the average chemist was, you know, not a young woman at the time, right? So when I started in chemistry, only about 5% were women.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think with upper degrees now, we're probably getting in the 30% range. But it's still, you know, not as common. And it was extra hard for us. And I think a lot of the students don't understand now, too, how a lot of us as faculty went through a completely different educational system that was pretty harsh, actually, where, you know, you've heard these stories when you're sitting in your organic chemistry class and they would say, look to the left, look to the right. Two of you aren't going to be here at the end of this year.
Yes.
We would never say that to students now. We understand that that's a demoralizing experience, right? So I feel like a lot of students don't understand it was a pretty harsh environment and that you have to develop quite a bit of grit to make it through that. So sometimes I feel like my delay was the developing the grit and the backbone that I have now.
Yeah.
Actually, it wasn't necessarily, you know, an academic struggle as much as it was just like, you know, a battle of the wills. You know, they're trying to see if you're going to be able to cut it.
So during that time, though, were you working?
Actually, in chemistry, you get paid to be like a teaching assistant.
Yeah, a TA.
Yeah, I was working as a TA for sure.
Yeah, so that was all at U of L?
Yes. Yeah, that was all at U of L.
So you spent how many years there?
I spent about 7 years there on site. And then I met someone that eventually became my husband. And I moved to Knoxville with him. And I wrote my dissertation from there. And so we had to pass, you know, copies of my dissertation back and forth through the mail. I would sometimes drive up and spend a week and battle back and forth about the
transcripts.
And
see, here's another thing that a lot of people don't understand today about mail. You would type it up and do what with it?
And you would mail it.
Mail it, or you would deliver it?
Yeah.
You don't hit the button and send it.
No, no. And isn't that crazy? I can remember it was actually one of my last years of graduate school that I got an email address at school.
Oh, my heavens.
I know. And that was all like coming on this scene when I was wrapping up. So it's kind of funny now, I guess, that the phone in my pocket does more than computers did when I was in school.
The most powerful computer I've ever owned is my phone.
I know, right?
It's crazy. It is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's evolution.
It is, right?
It's evolution.
Yeah.
So you spent that time and then you moved to Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yes.
Yeah. So what did you do when you were there besides complete your dissertation?
I did complete my dissertation, which is the big thing. I worked as a community college professor there. At University of Louisville awarded me a master's degree for completing X number of things towards my PhD. And so with the master's degree, I could teach classes. So that was my first time, you know, teaching on my own. I got that job all by myself. You know, I interviewed for it, applied for it, and I worked as a part-time instructor. So I would spend my time working as a part-time instructor and then working on my dissertation. And quite frankly, just living my life a little bit because, I mean, I was a really dedicated student. I went straight through high school, you know, college, then on to grad school. And, you know, as I was rounding out my 20s, getting close to 30, I really hadn't had much free time or any kind of a life. And so I was really enjoying like having a dog and having a home and doing those kinds of things.
Yeah, all the normal kind of things.
Normal things that most people were doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was just enjoying life. And, you know, I lived in Knoxville for about 13 years and I took up cycling. I was a cyclist for a while and it's a beautiful area there in Knoxville. And I did those kinds of things. I never thought I would ever have a dog, but I love dogs now and I had a great dog and it was just a good life, actually. When I got closer to graduating, I lived there in Knoxville and I got a call from IU Southeast, which is in New Albany, Indiana.
Okay.
And one of the professors there was going to take a leave of absence. He was taking a sabbatical and he wanted to know if I would come to IU Southeast and teach his organic chemistry load. And it was full-time pay and full-time money. So I got an apartment in New Albany and I spent, you know, 5 days a week in New Albany. And then I would drive back to Knoxville every weekend.
And oh, wow.
Yeah. And I did that for 3 years, actually.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a commitment also.
It was. But, you know, it's really good experience because being a teaching assistant at U of L and then teaching at Pellissippi State and Community College System, those things helped me get experience, you know, to move. And then I got a full-time job at IU Southeast. And then I got my husband and I, we weren't married yet, but we got married in 2005. And then I moved back to Knoxville and I worked part-time again for a little bit and then full-time there at Pellissippi State. So I did that. And then after all of that, I had my son in 2009.
And so you were teaching chemistry?
Mm-hmm. Yes, organic chemistry. Yes,
organic chemistry.
Yeah.
Organic, wow. So for those of us that were not in the sciences, tell everybody what organic chemistry is.
Well, I've recently found out that if you Google, quote unquote, Google, hardest class in college ever taught, it organic chemistry is going to come up. So organic chemistry is the chemistry of carbon, and it's also kind of the chemistry of life. It's all about carbon and making larger and larger molecules, and it's the chemistry that we use to generate pharmaceuticals and all kinds of things like that for us. It saves people's lives.
Yeah, I was a double major too, political science and sociology, which is probably as far away from the sciences as you can get, certainly far away from organic chemistry. I took chemistry.
Did you?
I did.
Did you have Dr. Magnuson?
You know, I don't know who I had. Who else taught chemistry back then?
Okay, so this is really funny. So
was it just Dr. Magnuson or did Dr. Flashcomb teach it?
Dr. Flashcomb did too.
I want to say I had Dr. Flashcomb.
Dr. Flashcomb. Okay, yeah. So I am the Dr. Flashcomb now at Kentucky Wesleyan.
There's a lot of us who are not science people. We just aren't, you know,
and that's fine.
Yeah. We take the basic stuff we have to take to get the liberal arts degree.
Right.
Right.
And then, I mean, that's what I did for the other classes.
Yeah.
I did what I had to. I took sociology and psych. Let's see, my sociology, psychology. And back then we had to take two religion classes, right?
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Those were actually some of my favorite classes.
Weren't they great?
I absolutely.
They were so good.
Was Dr. Bevan here when you were here?
I don't
Ed Bevan.
Think so.
he would remind you if you looked at him like Christopher Lloyd on Back to the Future.
Is
you
that
know,
right?
Kind of that nutty professor kind
oh,
of
wow.
guy. And but he was absolutely one of my favorite professors. Just taught New Testament, I remember.
Yeah.
And made us put all the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John beside each other and read the differences, read them all and read the differences and understand them and talk through them. And it really was just wonderful foundation for me.
That is awesome.
You know, now I did not really appreciate art appreciation and music appreciation because I was not a big fan of those things. Mm-hmm. But you have to do those as well.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite classes here, actually, believe it or not, was the government classes. I had Dr. Conroy. And he was wonderful. I just loved him.
He was not here when I was here.
Right. He
came right after.
Yeah. He came right after. And he eventually, he stayed and retired from here though, right?
He did, yes.
Yeah. He was a really great professor, actually. I mean, I had some really great professors here. But you know, you asked me about what organic chemistry does. Do you know what I do now? In my lab now. So here at Wesleyan, when you're science faculty, you have to have a research group and you have to do scholarly work. And so now what I've done in my research group is skincare formulation.
Skincare.
Skincare formulation, yeah. Yeah, so I have currently six research students and they make soaps and creams and all kinds of like shave bars, and they formulate their own like custom skincare.
That's really cool.
Isn't that crazy?
Now, see, that might have intrigued me enough to be interested in organic chemistry. I don't know, but it might.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's practical application.
It is. And that's why we like it. I think a lot of people think, oh, well, skincare stuff, it's makeup, it's only for girls. But actually, I've had equal numbers of men and women students doing research in there. And a lot of them are athletes. And so we have them design products that would be really good for athletes when they travel. So they like to make a lot of like solid bars for like shampoo or conditioner or whatever, because that way it's not in a little tube that's going to spill out in your bag while you're traveling.
Yeah, that's really cool. Now, my wife and I had a son and a daughter. And if you include hair care products in that, I can tell you that our son took longer to get ready than our daughter did. But he fancied his hair.
Yeah.
You know, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we really enjoy it. We've developed all kinds of things in the lab, and it's a really good thing to do because it is practical applications. But, you know, financially, I mean, to run, you know, a research group, it costs a lot of money. But this kind of thing is definitely affordable in our, you know, budget for things. You can buy a lot of shea butter, you know. You can buy a lot of beeswax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very cool.
It's been a lot of fun. Yeah, we've made our own, you know, chapstick. We've made bath bombs. We've made soap. Yeah.
Sunscreen.
Did you know this? This is really interesting. Sunscreen is not considered a cosmetic in the United States. It's considered an over-the-counter drug.
Really?
It is, yeah. And so it has different requirements, but I definitely could make sunscreen.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting? It would just have to go through a different kind of
approval.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting.
It is, yeah. Even toothpaste is considered an over-the-counter pharmaceutical.
Well, that's crazy.
It is kind of crazy, yes. And every country has its own regulations with respect to that, so... Yeah, we're making some things for the President's Gala.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Very cool. So you were in Knoxville and you finished that time there.
Mm-hmm.
And is that when you came here?
Yes. Well, not when I came to Wesleyan. That's when I moved to... Well, I technically I live in Southern Indiana still. I still drive every day in, But my husband, in 2009 is when I had my son. And then my husband was laid off from his job, and he made a lot more money than, you know, college faculty does. And so I needed to follow him. And although I was a tenured faculty member in Knoxville, it still was financially the better choice to follow him. So he got a job with Verizon Wireless in Indiana here, and he's originally from Evansville and from this area. And so I was looking for a job, and I took a one-year appointment at U of E, University of Evansville, and then I worked part-time at this is going to crack you up. So I worked part-time at USI, which when we were here, they were the enemy.
That's the enemy.
The enemy.
Darlene, that's the enemy.
I know, right? Do you remember all those shirts? My favorite two teams are Kentucky Wesleyan and whoever's playing against USI. Yeah. Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know I was worried about Corey Crowder, like, not wanting to be my friend anymore, you know, because I went and worked at USI for a while. So I worked at USI for 6 years, and then I came here in 2019.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
So you now are full-time here.
Oh, yeah.
And again, still organic chemistry,
still organic
and that's
chemistry.
It.
Yeah. Well, I teach biochem some. I teach where I need to here.
Okay.
You know, because the pandemic, I came just in time, right? I started in August of 19, and then the pandemic hit in March of 20.
Perfect
Dr. Mitzel and I had great timing, right? So he started in January.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was crazy in that time. And we had a lot of faculty actually left during that time. So our chemistry department was a department of four when I came, and then two left. So then it was a department of two. Dr. Keller and I were running the entire department for a year by ourselves.
And so, you know, it's interesting. I have the privilege of being an adjunct here.
Oh, really?
I teach sociology,
mm-hmm.
and during the pandemic time, they asked me if I wanted to teach online, and I said no.
Mm-hmm.
I with what I teach, but I think it's the face to face is so important to me, and I think to the students.
Yeah,
that interaction and. I don't, you don't get that the same way.
Yeah.
You know,
well, especially if if you're not really trained for that. So when I was at USI, I was the online chemistry department though.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only person that taught online at USI. So I left USI and then they didn't have anybody that knew how to do that. And it's interesting because USI paid a lot of money to train me. I went through, I think I have 19 online training certificates. So I conduct, you know, a lot of online classes. So I was ready when it happened.
Sure. And some people just, I think, are more suited or capable of doing that. And I just was not that, being part-time. Now, if it was my full-time job, I probably would have had a different view about it.
Yeah.
But being part-time, I thought, it was just not what I wanted to learn about and adapt to.
Yeah.
So I paused that.
Yeah.
You know, but that's interesting that you had that skill set, that background.
Oh, it was, yeah.
That you could continue on and do it.
Yeah. And I I taught off campus for a whole year because of the pandemic. I got a health exception. In order to do that, we all stayed home. My son and I have breathing problems. Actually, when I was here as a student, I was a junior, and I got histoplasmosis, and I have lung damage from it, actually. And so that was when we didn't know that much about COVID. Lots of people were dying. It was really scary. Well, it was to me anyway. So I was like, I'm staying home. And so for a year, I worked from home. I was having a setup like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a computer and an iPad and synchronous classes. And
went to work.
I just got it done.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So we got to circle back.
Okay.
We got to circle back. You talked about this man that you met.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they get in the way, don't they?
Sometimes.
So tell us about your husband.
Okay. So my husband, his name is Brian Lee. We have different last names. I didn't change my name when I got married. And he's a little bit younger than me. He's like 3 years younger than I am. And we met out having a good time, actually. And he's an engineer for Verizon Wireless. I met him when I was 27 and he was 24. But he was really a very successful person. So at like 24, he already had his own house and he had his own life and car. He was really with it and very together.
Wow.
Big different from me, right?
Well, no, I mean,
we're just different.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Just different paths.
Yeah, just different paths. Yeah, so this is crazy. We dated for 9 years before we got married.
Now, that is a bit unusual.
That is crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm not going to call it crazy, but it's it's not the norm.
It's definitely not the norm.
So you dated for 9 years and then finally married?
Yes.
When?
In 2005.
2005.
Yes.
So you're coming up on a pretty big anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next year will be
next
a couple
year be 20.
Of decades.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And I think you mentioned you have... One son.
I have one son, yes. I had a big life change. My son was born when I was 41, actually. So I wasn't married until I was 36. And then I had my son when I was almost 41. So in 2009 is when I had him in November of 2009.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's 14 now. And he's wonderful. He's the greatest thing ever.
You know... Candidly, there's not a lot of 14-year-old boys or girls that their parents say that about them.
I know, right?
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I've had one of each.
Yeah.
That was 14 at one time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I would have said same thing. Bless you, Mom.
He's the best thing. He's like literally the best thing. He is a very talented musician, my son.
Oh, wow. What's he playing?
He plays saxophone. Now, his dad, Brian, also played saxophone. My husband is so multi-talented. He got a music scholarship to the University of Evansville, but he got an engineering degree with that scholarship.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. So they're really, really talented. Like, I'm a total science nerd. But they're gifted in so many ways. So my son also plays saxophone and he's in eighth grade this year, but he marched with the high school marching band.
Wow.
Yeah. And
good for him.
Yeah, he marched playing the alto saxophone. He plays alto saxophone and baritone saxophone.
What's his name?
Michael Lee.
Michael, shout out to Michael.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I told him I was doing this today and he was excited.
Love the saxophone. It is a cool, cool instrument.
He's really gifted. Like, he can hear something, and he also has a keyboard in his bedroom. So if he hears a song, he goes and works it out kind of on the keyboard, and then he can play it on the saxophone. So as an example, you know, the song Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So my mother-in-law... she lived close to Brenda Lee in Nashville. Like, they went to high school together.
Wow.
Yeah. And my mother-in-law was teasing Mike, saying, you know, you need to learn how to play Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. And so he got out his phone, he looked it up on YouTube, and he listened to it. We could hear him in his room with a keyboard, and then he came out with a saxophone and just belted it out in the hallway.
Oh, wow.
He could play it by ear. Yeah.
No kidding. Wow, yeah, that's talent.
It took about 2 minutes.
That is
He's really awesome. Phenomenal. Yeah.
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 Now, no relation is there between Brenda Lee and...
No, I don't think they're related. They should be, though, right?
Well, I mean, it could be.
Could be.
Don't even know if you've
Who
done
knows?
That research.
I really haven't found any.
Okay. Well, very cool. So what else keeps you guys busy besides teaching and engineering and
saxophone playing? We have all sorts of hobbies. When we lived in Knoxville, my husband got his private pilot's license.
Oh, that's very cool.
And so he did that. He does that for hobbies. And right now he's doing a lot of gardening. He's been out there working on our garden. We have two dogs. We love dogs. We're all about the dogs.
What kind of dogs?
I have one dog that is older. She's like about 13. And she's a mix, probably a lab beagle / mix. She's old. And we call her Fat Mama. That's really not her name. But her name's Pepper. And we just got a new dog that's a golden doodle. And she's high energy.
Oh, my.
Yeah, we just love her. Her name is Tallulah, and I just love that name.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
That is a great name.
That's a great name.
Yeah, but they definitely are high energy.
Oh, she is. She's wearing us all out. It's like having a toddler again.
Yeah, so I'm pretty familiar with that myself. We had a dog for a number of years, of course, and she grew old, and we had to... say goodbye to her. And then we had a cat that we had for 22 years.
Oh, wow.
And same. And recently, a couple of months ago, my wife decided that she was ready to have a cat. And so we got two brothers.
Okay.
9 weeks old. So they're about 18, 19 weeks old right now.
Aww.
They are a mess.
They are busy, aren't they?
They are busy.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine that your golden doodle is much the same.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tallulah's 5 months now, and she is just energetic. She wakes up ready to go, and I do not wake up ready to go. You know what I mean? But I get morning duty because I'm the morning person in our house. Nobody else is a morning person, just me.
And well, so, that's okay.
Somebody's got to be
that is that
person.
A special bond that you're building.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and I used to get up early anyway, so I'd have alone time. But now I get up early, so I have Tallulah time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. She's great. She's worth it.
So, your dogs keep you busy. What else?
Well, I don't know. I have a lot of. I feel like I work a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here.
Welcome to adulthood,
yeah,
right, darling?
Yeah, that's adult life, yeah. I usually put in 12-hour days. But that's just the way it is, right? And we do a lot of things with Mike, with the marching band, and I have a good time doing my skincare formulation. I even took extra classes to learn more about skincare. I'm always developing new classes and new assignments. I mean, you were talking just a little while ago out in the hallway about the, if you find a job you love, you never work a day in your life. That's really kind of how it is for me. I almost don't even have a separation of a work life and my other life. It's just my life.
Just kind of runs together.
Yeah, it does for me. It really does. It's like I tell my students, and I think they believe this after all this time, but I'm always about this much sad to be going home at the end of the day just because, I could have done something else that was interesting. I'm obsessed with it. I just really like what I do, I just really like teaching, and I really like, thinking about how I could present this differently. I do a lot of writing, not for other people necessarily to read, but I spend a lot of time journaling. I like to keep my observations on, college students and try to figure out, what's the best way to reach these kids at this particular time? Because I've been teaching a long time and I've seen a lot of changes, and I have to change too, right?
That's right.
Learning's a two-way street. And so I try to take down a lot of observations that I see and what I can learn from that, not just how I can help them learn, but how can I learn from this too?
that's one of the reasons, one of the main reasons that I continue to teach part-time is it keeps me fresh.
Yeah.
You know, relevant. I learn from them. You know, it's fun for me to reminisce, and that's really all I do when I teach is reminisce about the stuff I know about.
Yeah.
But what I learn is from them.
Yeah, yeah. It's so fulfilling. It's just such a satisfying, fulfilling way to live.
No, it absolutely is. I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think of it as my life's mission and work, not a job, really. And as long as I feel like that, I can't imagine stopping it.
Well, and thank you for doing that and doing it here at Kentucky Wesleyan.
Thank you. If somebody had told me someday you'll be back here as a professor, I would have laughed out loud.
The circle.
That's been definitely a circle.
The circle.
Yeah.
So from Stanton, Kentucky, any family there?
I have one sister, and her family lives there. My parents passed away when they were pretty young, and so I only had one sister. So, yeah, I have just my sister and her family there.
And you said you live in southern Indiana. What part?
It's technically in Chandler, Indiana. It's in Warrick County, close to Newburgh and Boonville. My son goes to Boonville Middle School.
And does your husband have family there?
Yes, because he's from there. So his mom lives in Newburgh, and he went to Castle High School over there. We've had several kids here at Wesleyan that went to Castle High School and Boonville High School, actually. So, yeah, he's got family there. He's got sisters and a little bit more of an extended family there.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that provides some opportunity to get together and...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Have a little fun.
Well, and during the pandemic especially, Brian's mother, Cindy, and the three of us, my immediate family, we were the four, you know, amigos. We were we did everything together.
Yeah.
And my mother-in-law, she still, like, comes and she picks up my son every day from school because I'm on this side of the river right now and his dad's working, so... school ends at 3, so my mother-in-law, she's very involved with my son. They're very close.
Yeah, and that's nice to have that as an option.
It's wonderful, yeah, because my son never got to meet my parents at all. So I'm glad at least he got to experience grandparents, you know, with her.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And Cindy's like 75 and she's still, you know, moving around. She seems like a much younger person, actually.
Of course, don't you think that the older we get, the younger age is?
Maybe.
Right? You know, right. I mean, you wouldn't have thought. I mean, I know when I was young and my grandparents were probably in their 50s, I'm like, they're ancient.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what's funny to me is like some of my classmates from here at Wesleyan are grandparents now, right?
Right.
And I'm like, my kid's 14, so I have no concept of that.
Our oldest grandson is 17.
Is that right? Oh my gosh.
And I cannot imagine, because soon it's very possible that he could have children.
I know. That's crazy.
That's nuts.
That's.
I don't know any other way to describe it. That's just
crazy.
Nuts.
Yeah. 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 I can't imagine being a grandparent. But I mean, I guess I got such a late start on parenthood, you know, so hopefully I'll live long enough to be a grandparent.
Grandchildren are amazing. We have 5.
Do you really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
They are amazing. They are amazing.
Great. That's
kids kind of take a back seat when they come along, but that's okay. It's just a way of life.
Yeah.
You know, it's like evolution.
That's the way it's supposed to go.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So you said your husband is a pilot. Does he still fly?
He hasn't flown that much since we've lived here, but he definitely wants to.
Do you ride with him?
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. So this little place where I'm from in Stanton, Kentucky, the airport was right behind my house. So when we lived in Knoxville, we would actually rent a plane
and fly it
to see my parents. Yeah.
Now that is cool.
That is rocking, isn't it?
Yeah.
My dad was a private pilot too, like kind of on the side. And okay. So he was so excited when Brian got his pilot's license. Yeah.
Well, that's neat.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Well, you know, so, Darlene, it's unfortunate, but we are approaching the end of our time together.
Well, it was fun, though, right?
And so, well, it was a blast. I enjoy all of these. So I have one question that I ask all my guests.
Okay.
And this is the only staged question I have. And I'm going to ask you the question. I'm going to give you a chance to think about it while I tell you why I'm asking the question.
Okay.
Tell me about a favorite vacation. Now, why do we want to know that? Brenda and I are nearing the age that we're going to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm stealing travel ideas from my guests.
That's awesome. We love
to travel.
That's awesome.
And you know what? Maybe somebody else is going to pick up a travel tip along the way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. You ready?
Ready.
All right. So my favorite vacation was last summer. And you know what we did? We went to Alaska. We did 2 weeks in Alaska.
Man.
And it was unbelievable. We did 1 week on a cruise ship, and the cruise ship stopped at four ports. And so we stopped, I can't remember all the ports now. One of them was Ketchikan, Skagway. We went all these different places. So we stopped at all these ports. We saw all these glaciers. We went to Denali. So we did a whole week on the cruise ship, and we would get off at the ports, and then we would explore and do all the things through there. We went and we went whale watching.
Yeah.
It was so amazing. We went to Anchorage, and there were bald eagles everywhere. I mean, you just don't think of that here. And there, you know, we have bald eagles out at my lake where I live now, because my house is on 3 acres and has a lake in behind it. And we have eagles that fish. But it was really amazing. Juneau, there was lots of eagles in Juneau. And so we did all of those kinds of things. And then when we got off the cruise ship after seeing all the glaciers and everything, we did a week land tour. And we got on a railway, and the company that we traveled with, they took us from stop to stop. We stayed a different place every night. So one place we stayed was around Denali. We stayed in Fairbanks, was our last stop, and that was great. We stayed an extra day in Fairbanks, actually, because we wanted to see the sled dogs.
Oh, cool.
Oh, and it was awesome. Yeah, it was just, so we did a week on a cruise ship. We did a week on land. We saw elk. We saw these crazy goats, you know, that mountain climbing goats. Yeah. And just all kinds of things there. And it was the trip of a lifetime, actually. Yeah.
So when did you go?
We went in May.
In May?
Yeah. So we went at the end of May. So the last week of May and the first week of June is when we went last year.
So you're not my first guest who has suggested Alaska.
Okay.
And ironically, this is something that right now, Brenda and I are planning to do next year.
Oh, really?
We are.
Going to Alaska?
Yeah. I had the opportunity many years ago to go to Anchorage to a conference.
Oh.
She did not go.
Yeah.
And I did not get out of Anchorage. I was at the conference. So we want to go and do the cruise thing. Mm-hmm. But there's so much other land area to see and countryside to see. So, I mean, things are just, this is like karma, right?
Yeah.
That says we're supposed to be planning this trip. Yeah. So I think I'm going to need some tips.
Okay.
So offline, we're going to get some tips.
Okay. Yeah. Just be prepared, because if you go that time of year, it doesn't get dark.
So it's 24 hours daylight in the summer.
In the summer.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We have pictures from outside our hotel in Fairbanks at 2 a.m. is daylight like it is right now.
Daylight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess eventually you get tired enough, you fall asleep.
Right? Yeah, but it does really mess up your sleep pattern.
I bet it does.
It does. If I had had gallbladder surgery right before I left, and I realize now that I probably wasn't totally ready to go, but it had to happen, both things. The vacation had been planned for months. And if I had felt better, I think I would have probably run myself in the ground from not having any darkness. You know, I would have just kept going because there was always something to do, because it was always daylight.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
That's a concept you can't imagine. You can't wrap your mind around until you experience it.
Until you do it. Yeah. I was surprised. I was like, oh my gosh. I just did not want to stop because it was still daylight.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
That's wonderful. And thank you for giving a little of your time to be here today and share your story. That's what this podcast is all about, and I very much appreciate you being willing to do it, and you've been a fabulous joy of a guest.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's been wonderful getting to know you.
Thanks.
I like to give guests final word.
I don't know what to say, final word. Wesleyan's great, and I love my job.
Well, those are always the right things to say, whether they're true or not.
It's
they're
totally
always the right
true.
Things to say. Well, darling, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you spending some time with us, and appreciate everybody listening to us. And until next time, be well.
This has been another episode of Alumni Evolution, the official podcast of the KWC Alumni Association, hosted by Doug Hoyt, class of 1984. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to follow the Alumni Association on social media at KWC Alumni. See you next time, Panthers.